To be present, we must be intentional, and to bear fruit, we must feed the soul. You're listening to Pod Sip and Ponder. Hello, Ponders. Welcome back to another episode of Pod Sip and Ponder. Thank you for being here. Happy almost peak of spring. The weather's really nice today, and I think that gets everyone in a really good mood. I'm just hopeful, I think. And spring always brings such positive and hopeful vibes in our day, in our lives. And so I hope all is well. We've been really busy on this end. But if you're new here, Pod Sip and Ponder is a podcast where we talk about everything and anything in the aim to give you some encouragement, some insight, where we learn together, grow together, and we're just some people just trying to figure it out. And I think there's just some comfort in knowing that we all are still figuring it out. And so I have one of the best people in my life. I have my friend Eric here with me, and I'll introduce him in a bit. And just kind of let you guys know how we know each other and who Eric is to me. And we're actually, this is our second episode together. So the last time we had a podcast was back in 2019. He was one of my very first guest. He was actually, when I talk about like the origins of Pod Sip and Ponder, he's definitely in it, because he was one of the first people I interacted with straight after high school and going to college. Coffee Republic was the spot of where this all happened, and we had such great conversations up to this day. I feel like our relationship, and you've mentioned this before, but I think I just kind of changed how it was, but you talked about like main character and side character, and I think we're like the best side characters in other people's lives. Like, I feel like we both don't really see ourselves as the main character all the time. We're always, you know, just really down to serve and be there for people and give any type of wisdom that we have. And he's definitely been that type of person in my life. He's been so supportive. We've been to pretty much every birthday, you know, small gathering. And yeah, he's just a real one. He's an OG. So I'm really grateful to have you once again, Eric. And so I think I really wanted to just catch up on how life's been since 2019, which is, I'm sure, a lot, and it's pretty general, but my intention of this podcast is to really, you know, we first talked about success and what, or no, failure, and what that means to us, and also success, and what we've learned along the way. And I think we've both had quite some change, but also when I was listening back to our podcast, our first one, a lot of it has stayed the same in terms of what we valued, what we were, I guess, like our values and like our intentions and that stuff. So yeah, but before we get into that, how are you, Eric?
Doing just fine. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me on your podcast again.
I know. It's all like long years overdue. I mean, we would have like podcasts, but in person, like no mic, no camera. So, yeah, I think everything will go well. So yeah, I went back to the old podcast and then I wrote down some things that you can let me know if they still resonate with you, and just like some thoughts.
For sure.
Any reflections. Okay. So I did this 4 years ago, and I asked you what you did at the time.
Oh my gosh.
And you responded with, well, I think I just explained to people that I have a background in everything. And so you're in a lot of entrepreneurial stuff. Is that still?
Yeah, I mean, I do have a couple of mainstay things that I do right now, but I'm always working on a different project,
right?
You know, yes. At one point or another. Yeah,
yes,
for sure. So yeah, it is way more defined than it was back then, but it's still largely, you know, just kind of, you know, I work to keep things interesting, like, because a project is interesting to me or whatever. And, you know, it's kind of, think of, I don't know if you ever played a lot of video games, but, you know, I had to say, like, you know, completing all the side quests and everything.
Sure.
That's how I treat a lot of things. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't play games, but I do see it in that way. Yeah. Mini games. Yeah, for sure. You also at the time did IGTV videos when it was
That's right. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
RIP. We no longer have IGTV. Yeah. When we have Reels. Wow.
Reels. Yeah.
Isn't it so interesting? Like the, I guess they were testing it out, right? And that's when it was longer, right? How long were IGTV videos back then? Was it like an hour or something or less?
You had to.
Oh, a minute.
Yeah, it was still very short. Like if you like hit a certain mark, like I don't know if you had like the blue check mark or something like that.
Yeah.
Like they would extend it for like 2 or 3, 5 minutes or something like that. Like if you were the freaking man, you could get like 10 minutes. You know, like it was.
Oh
yeah,
my gosh.
Yeah. IGTV, I totally forgot about that.
And then just now, like, I mean, you do have the option to have way longer. I guess when you're live, you can post, and it'll be like for an hour long if you wanted.
Right.
And now we have reels that are literally, I think it's like a minute and 15 seconds max. It's just interesting how like Instagram has evolved and kind of changed and like, yeah, really weird, but cool. What do you remember what your intentions were behind those videos?
Oh,
because I know you were just starting at the time.
Oh, because at that time I was working in social media marketing. So it was, So that was a part of my experimenting with, you know, the social media platforms. You know, I was focusing more so on Instagram. So the intention was like the end game was to help other businesses with their social media and so on and so forth. Now, I couldn't do that if like I didn't understand it as a user. So I was just trying to make content so that I could understand the platform like a little bit better. So like at the time, you know, I was just, you know, you just talk about stuff, whether, you know, again, journaling is a big thing for us and everything. So a lot of that would, you know, instead of a journal entry, you know, I would just, you know, throw that onto a IGTV or something like that.
Those.
I only did a handful of them. A handful of them, but
Good. They were good at that time, and then COVID hit, I think, not too long
after
that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, and then that was like a whole different thing. That was
Wow.
That being a whole another thing.
Yeah, I mean, I always find your like stories so interesting and funny. Like you're just like there and you're just observing everything around you. You're like, how did I end up here? Like, but it's just such real, it's like the in-between moments, you know, that not a lot of people share about, you know, and that stuff is really relatable, you know.
You know, like I think for me, like when it comes to social media, I always try to use social media in the kind of the juxtaposition of what we know social media as, which is, you know, everybody has a curated version of their life on social media. Like it's always the highlights and everything, right? excuse me. You know, so like whenever I post, like they're always, you know, funny or whatever, because that's how I see my life, you know, like all the uninteresting moments, all the still moments, you know, when nothing is happening, or I find myself like at a random networking event or party, or, you know, the intrusive thoughts, you know, that go on in your head, like, I'm going to this networking event, I'm dressed up in a suit and tie and everything, I look good, I look like I know what I'm, I look professional, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah,
you know, like,
exactly.
That's, you know, that's the reality of, you know, and just, you know, funny things like that. So, like, I told one of my friends, like, you know, it's I mean, it's such a small thing, but I like to think that somebody like who would watch my stories when they come and meet me, and I'm exactly that person, you know.
That's so good.
Yeah, but
it's really refreshing, you know, because like you said, it's just a bunch of highlights on Instagram, and so it's really refreshing and nice to see, I guess, someone who doesn't have it all together, which is, I think, majority reality. So.
Right. All of us, like I said, all of us are just trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Changing our community and the world, you know, just through little things like that, you know.
It's also just, you know, good for, you know, like you're thinking of other people and you're like, no, they're normal people that screw up too, you know, like, and that have boring moments and mm-hmm. all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Also in the podcast, you had mentioned that we both had problems of stuttering. Do you still have
all problems? The time? All the time. I'm stuttering now. Yeah. It's funny. Cause it's a catch 22. Cause once I realize it, like it makes me more self-conscious about it. So I'm more likely to stutter more.
Sure.
So then you'll start to notice me taking more pauses and intentionally speaking slower. Mm-hmm. And that's my defense against it.
Dude.
So like, only I'm thinking about that.
Sure.
You probably don't notice.
Yeah.
Like I'm doing that internally. So it's, yeah.
Well, you're doing it well, because I honestly like envy people. Like I'm trying to learn that myself, where it's okay to take pauses.
Yeah.
When you're talking, I feel like I can go on and on and on, and then I'll like lose track of what I'm saying, just trying to like, depending who I'm in front of, you know, just trying to make a certain point or like get my idea across. But it's really nice to just like, you know, have that moment of pause, because that
sure.
can actually create more impact, you know, more emotional, I guess, impact when you're talking to someone. And
yeah. Honestly, it's nice to have those pauses. You know, sometimes it having those pauses, you give up another person room to
yes.
to take a turn speaking, and then you know, and then you get more out of the conversation, because you know you're getting to hear more about what that person's thinking about their life or whatever they're doing, at the cost of I don't have to talk in this moment.
Yes.
You know, so,
yeah,
oftentimes, right?
Wow, that's so funny. Also like when you have those, I guess, those moments that pause, it helps you like really be intentional with what you're saying.
Yes.
You know, being, intentional with what you're saying. Cause sometimes we'd be saying stuff and it's just like, is that really me? Like, or was I pretending to be something? And, you know, so, well, I take that from you. So, you know, even if you may see it as an insecurity, I firmly try to do that more. So let's go back to our thoughts, our perspectives, our experiences since our first podcast about failure. So broad, I know that. But I'll say what you said, and maybe we can add from there.
Okay.
People fear the consequences of failure, and you really have to ask yourself, what are you actually scared of? So do those words still resonate, or is that, if someone asked you about your take on failure, is that what you would say? Is there anything you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, largely the same. Mm-hmm. You know, there was this, I don't remember, it was some old Greek philosopher. He had this exercise where he was a rich man, he was a senator or whatever it is, so he was a very well-to-do kind of guy. And one of the exercises that he would do was like he would go out into the streets and he would put on like these tattered robes and everything, like, you know, everything is like, you know, he's wearing like these, you know, it would be like somebody who was like wearing Louis Vuitton, and then he just like came out with like a shirt from Walmart with holes in it and everything. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when he would think to himself, you know, if he lost everything, he'd be like, is this it? Is this what I had feared all of this time? You know, so having confidence in like, let's say like whatever it is that your job, yeah, like having fear in something, you know, fear of failure or whatever it is, it's often what makes people very not confident about, you know, whether it's going out talking to people, trying to start a conversation, want to talk to that girl or that guy or whatever it is, your job, right? It's that confidence, people that are confident, it's not that they're not it's not that they're not afraid of failure. It's just that they have a more healthy relationship with failure.
Yes.
So, so when that does happen, like, you just kind of don't care about it. Like, like for instance, you know, I could go on the street and ask a girl out or something like that, or try to like chat her up or whatever. And maybe she's like rude to me back or something like that, which has happened on more than a couple of
times. I was going to say, I want to see that.
Yeah. but yeah, I mean, you know, it didn't hurt me. Like, you know, it's, you know, a rude word doesn't scathe me. It's, you know, most of the people that you go, you know, come across with are strangers. You know, if you don't get that that job at that interview, I mean, there's plenty of jobs out there. There are lots of different opportunities, and
right.
Yeah. So it's about your relationship with failure. But to add a caveat to it though, and this was something that I actually heard recently. It was it was a YouTuber. He's like a psychologist or psychotherapist or whatever, and he said one of the things that you do have to be careful of is that when you fail at something multiple times, you know, let's say you have a hard time holding down a job, and it's because mm-hmm. you consistently mess up on like one or a couple of areas, you know, mm-hmm. that are very consistent, right? So when you go into like that fifth or sixth job, or whatever it is, you're not, the way that the mind works is that you're not trying to overcome one failure. You're now stacking up four or five before it,
mm-hmm.
and that gets in a lot of people's heads, and that's what ultimately holds a lot of people back. I don't really know the answer to that. You know, I am not a psychotherapist,
mm-hmm.
but that is definitely a thing to be aware of. It's something that I've noticed with me for some areas of my life, you know, like when I think back to it, you know, because even if you it's one thing to kind of logic your way and you know, tell yourself that like this thing can't hurt me or like, oh, I can always be better or whatever. But, you know, your subconscious is pretty strong. We're, you know, the back of our minds are always running
mm-hmm.
color commentary, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this before. It's not too unrelated to imposter syndrome, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, where a lot of that is color commentary in the back of your head, where it's not necessarily you.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that, I mean, does that make sense? Is that yes. something that you've, that you like have come across or like?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I mentioned this to you. I thrive on challenge. I thrive on learning and
for sure.
I don't know. Maybe there's like a deeper thing to that. Maybe it's because I was in situations where I really felt like I was forced to have to adapt and learn and face failure over and over. Mm. Or maybe it's because I've faced disappointment so many times. Relatively pretty strong. Like, it's not always the best all the time.
For sure. Yeah.
But I'm really count myself grateful. But I wanted to ask you, like, I guess for someone who, because, you know, the fear of failure really prevents us from really taking on, you know, things we need to do to get to a certain level or a certain dream that we may be having. And so what would you say to someone who, is just experiencing difficulty and like taking that step and, you know, really wanting to achieve something, but they fear failing at something? What is, at least for you, what is your, I guess, your thought process? Like, you know, just say you have a big client, big job, you know, opportunity.
You know, it's actually something that's very related to procrastination. Because
yeah.
because you procrastinate on something because you've lined up something that you want to do it later, because if I start to take action on it now I'm setting myself up like, you know, this is something that I could possibly get wrong
mm-hmm.
later, you know. So it's so then you get to I got another 10 minutes in bed, you know, or like I'm gonna complete this task first then, instead of working on this thing that's actually important, you know, that I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know, that's a big tie-in to procrastination.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like my advice that I would give to anybody, you know, that, you know, fears taking action on anything, it's have to take some kind of action.
Yeah.
Like you just have to do it. Like when I was so you've known me as like being a very social person, right? Mm-hmm. People often say, like, you know, in the town square, will give me like the nickname of like the mayor of town square.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's a great name for you. I love that.
but what like a lot of people don't know is, one, I'm highly introverted, and two, one of my greatest fears was talking to other people. Mm. Right. When I was first starting to get into business, I'll tell you like how big of a deal it was for me was when I realized that I wanted to get into business. Like 9 out of 10 people in business were also like great salespeople.
Hmm.
I was like 19 years old and I literally cried.
Hmm.
You know, like to my poor girlfriend had to listen to me, like, you know, because I was afraid of talking to people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talking to strangers, right? You know, but it was something that I intentionally worked on. I read books on it. So the taking action part was like I read books. I observed and I watched people that I perceived as being, very extroverted, very social people. I watched what they did, and then when rubber hits the road, like the actions that I took was like I would write down in my journal, okay, like, this is my task.
I'm going to give a compliment to 10 people on the street that I don't know. Like, just random, like, random person at Barnes & Noble, random person, like, at the gas station. Yeah, and
that's so cool.
And then at a certain point, I would just... And then I would...
You know, and action doesn't mean that you just have to go all in, right? Mm-hmm. My first step is just compliment somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the next step was, okay, can I hold a conversation for 1 minute? Right. Okay. Now that I've held a conversation, you know, for 1 minute, can I gracefully exit this conversation without sounding like awkward and weird? Yeah. Right. And so like these were all like baby steps, you know, but when it does come to taking action, most of the fear dissipates or at least doesn't matter anymore after you take that first step. So
yeah.
So it's kind of like jumping out of an airplane. The hardest part is jumping out of the airplane. But once you've jumped out.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't have any choice.
Yeah.
Like you just like good or ugly, like
yes.
You are committed now. So that's how I like treated conversations. When getting into that job, like I don't know what I'm doing on the job. You know, that's why I'm here to go through training and everything. But
yes.
Like I've signed up for it and I'm going to show up and everything and we're going to see what happens. I'm going to do my best.
Yeah.
You know, and that's all anybody can expect from themselves. You know, just small actions. A little bit at a time, little things that make you uncomfortable every time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a pretty business, but it's really there are very other few options that I can think of.
I think we are definitely people that people turn to, you know, when not just necessarily just success in general, but just for life stuff, you know, and they ask questions like that. And I try to, you know, have grace and compassion because honestly, you're right. Like, it's the boring answer. But,
yeah,
you know, people want to know, okay, like, that's funny. But, like, really, no, it's
right.
Like, actually,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You really have to just show up and face it, you know, head on.
I have a random question for you.
Okay.
So
I love questions.
So being that, you know, people come up to you and, you know, you have a lot of patience for things and, you know, like, are you the type of person that like in a group scenario, like if somebody wants to take the lead, you know, to like make plans or something like that, you let them do it. But like at the same time, if it all hits the fan and everything, you're the one who ends up taking the reins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that? Yeah.
I'll
yeah.
give it actually like exactly that example
yeah.
from experience. There was a friend at the time that was hosting their very first type of birthday thing.
Mm.
And I knew her to be someone who wasn't very, you know, sociable, but I think she was attempting to. And so she wanted something big. And so I was there, you know, to support her. And, and she had the whole thing, and long story short, like, it just didn't go well, and she kind of, like, internalized it a lot, whatever drama was happening that day, and, like, ended up locking herself in a room because it was just overwhelming, I guess. And so I ended up I ended up doing icebreakers at this cabin party because everyone was like, where's the celebrant? And I'm like, you know, I really try my best, though, because I don't want to be that person.
Right,
but sometimes
right.
you have to be that
right,
person.
Right.
And it could be from coping, like, or just like your coping mechanism and just like maintaining peace and stuff. But also because I just have experience and, you know, I've been in a lot of leadership stuff.
I think you're the type of person that thrive, like that excels when under pressure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're very collected.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't have a very like and this is one of the things I appreciate about you. Like you're an interesting contrast of like you're not super what's the word that I'm looking for? Like you're not a super obvious personality.
Mm.
But you do have a certain control about you, a certain, you know, a cadence and groundedness that I think a lot you attract a lot of people to you in that way.
Thank you. Well, my brain's like,
for sure, absolutely.
No, that's great to know.
But while being collected on the outside, like that's crazy. That's crazy for a lot of people.
But you know, I mean, like, what doesn't work with that? I guess personality that I have or way I'm able to like keep myself collected is that you say that I work well under pressure. It's most challenging when you're not in pressure, you know, just say if you have a certain project you want to get done, you have like, you know, things you want to do on your to-do list, but nobody's necessarily forcing you to do it, pressuring you to do it. It's really you and yourself. And at the end of the day, it's just you and yourself. Like you go to sleep by yourself, you know, and that's where it gets a little tricky with me.
I read this random quote from somebody. I don't remember the name, but the dude said that the ingredients of success is, I'm paraphrasing. He said the ingredients of success is a really important project and not quite enough time.
Wow. That's every day, man. I have 2 hours to work on this project and then I go to bed.
Just got
to
throw something together. Yeah.
That's so true.
But you know, that pressure, it brings the best out of you.
I really see failure as an opportunity. And I posted on my Instagram not too long ago. I don't know why I just found out about Tony Robbins. He said like failure, failure is just like something like a result, like, you know, like it's only failure if you just think of it as that. If you were to see it as an opportunity, it wouldn't be so much as a, you know, a failure at all. It'd be an opportunity for you to grow, an opportunity to see in a different lens. And so I mean, not to say I've never came to that point where I'm like, wow, I'm a failure, you know. Even like there'll be loved ones who'll tell you that stuff and it really gets into your head. But that's why I really, really, really hone in on or highlight just the importance of, if it's really important to you, you know, you will take the time to evaluate, like, is that even true? You know,
sure.
All of the things that may be telling you that you can't do a certain thing, you know.
So there was so about like having failures in any given point, you know, where you sit there and you just kind of evaluate yourself, you evaluate your life, and where you're like, oh, am I really a failure? Like, I've come into this point, you know, I'm like, you know, 25, you know, 27 or 30 or whatever age that you're at. It's funny, it doesn't matter what age you're at, you always look at your life as a whole, being like, I am a failure, you know, I'm 18,
right.
You know, all right, it's the end of my life, right?
Yes.
And you look at your life where you're like, oh man, what have I really done, you know, but there's this story of this guy, he asks this renowned historian or whatever, and he asks him this question. He says, what do you think the ramifications of the French Revolutionary War is? And of course, you know, Revolutionary War was, you know, hundreds of years ago, right? And he says to him, he says, well, I think it's still too early to tell. And I think that's how a lot of people should look at the point that they are in their lives. You know, like you're only a little ways in. Like it's you know, are you a failure or not? I don't know, but it's probably still too early to tell.
Wow.
Far too early to tell.
I don't know why our stuff is not working today. Maybe we're just speaking too much facts or I can't handle it. Okay, so what I remember what I spoke about. Okay, I highly recommend people our age really spend time if they have grandparents or even just at a senior center because these people are of experience. And I think that's why I really, really enjoy, I guess, just anyone with wisdom in general because of their experience. And it reminds you of like, well, maybe I do have a little bit more time than I think, you know, because you can hear from their mistakes, you know, what they thought as failures, what they thought of success. Who was it that like didn't get successful till like they were like in their 30s? I'm sure there's countless people that didn't reach the level of success until later on in their life. And I always think of our life as like just the tip of, you know, a shoestring, you know, because it's just, you know, there's so much more to it.
I do have to point out something in that line of thinking. You know, you are absolutely right. You know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of people that, you know, made their mark much later, and they're known for, you know, like Tolkien. He started writing Lord of the Rings at like 40. Mm. You have Colonel Sanders from KFC, right? Mm-hmm. He sold the rights at like 70, right? Yeah. Like that part of you, you still got time. You got a lot of time. But on the flip side, you have to remember to live your life. Mm. Like you can't think of your life. You can't think of your life strictly as like a journey, a pilgrimage or whatever. Like that there's an end, you know, that you're trying to get to, right? So there's this guy, Alan Watts, right? He's this British guy. He helped bring Eastern philosophy out to the West, right? And so what he says, you know, he's basically like, you know, the universe as we know it is there's no point to it really. Like it's largely playful. Like it's not, the universe is not trying to get somewhere, mm-hmm. right? He says life can be best used in analogy with music. Mm. So, you know, we say that you play music, you don't work music. Mm. You know, same thing with dancing. You don't dance to end up in, you know, in a certain part of the room. The whole point of dancing is the dance.
Right.
You know, but we don't see that reflected in our society and in our lives. You know, because what is it that you do? You go to kindergarten, you get from kindergarten you get sent to first grade, congratulations, now you get to second, and so on and so forth. And you know, then you go into college, and you know, now you're done with college and you go on to join the world. Hmm. And you know, all this time, you know, you're working towards something, you know, you're working and you're trying to get to that thing, right?
Yes.
And then what eventually happens is that, you know, and then you work in some job where you're selling insurance or something like that, and mm-hmm. you know, and then they have some marks that you have to make, and you're gonna make that, right? Mm-hmm. And we miss the whole point all the way along. You get to about age 40, and you say, "Wow, I've made it. I'm there," you know, right? Yeah. Like whatever it is that you're chasing.
Right.
And then you get there and you don't feel much different from how you always felt, mm-hmm. right? If you take a look at the senior citizens, right? People who lived for their retirement, you know, who you know, collected all those savings, right? Mm. And then by the time they're age 65, 70, you know, they get sent to old people's community and they don't have much energy left, mm-hmm. Rotten some, you know, old people's community, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, we, you know, then the point that he makes is, you know, we think of, we think of life as a journey, as a pilgrimage, as a place that has a serious point and end, and the whole point of life is to get to that end. But we end up cheating ourselves the whole way along.
Because life is a musical thing. If you were supposed to sing or to dance while the music was being played.
Stop doing that, Eric. Saying poetic stuff like that is just, oh my god. Speaks to my soul. That's so true.
But you know, these are the conversations, you know, that we have where we enjoy a cup of coffee or a tea, you know, at the coffee shop with an old friend, or you know, or meeting new friends along the way.
Yes.
You know, enjoying time with people that you. You know, all of us only have limited time with each other in various aspects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, taking care of ourselves, and you know, watching the people, the community around us, taking care of those things, remembering to enjoy your life like now while you have it. In Stoic philosophy, they have this idea that a lot of it is driven by the understanding of death, right? And they want you to find meaning in life because it is limited, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want you to think all the time that death is something that is going to happen to you, or it's something in the future that you need to prepare for. They say no, mm-hmm. you're dying every day.
Mm.
Because the time that passes belongs to death. So the hours that I, you know, spent watching TV or whatever it is, or I spent on the couch or whatever it is, I died those 3 hours.
Wow.
They're not coming back.
Wow.
Right. So all of the time, you know, you sit there and you evaluate what it is you're doing on a day-to-day basis. How are you designing your life today? Not some future, what's going to happen when I'm successful.
Mm-hmm.
One day I'm just going to stop being afraid of things. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, one day I'm just going to know what I'm doing, right? Like, that never happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you ask anybody who has reached a high level of success, they are almost always depressed. Because they worked so hard to get to that point.
Yes.
And now what do I do with my life?
Right.
My life was the same the whole way, you know, front and back.
Mm. Yeah, it's really that hard balance of being like, I have time, but today could be my last day, you know?
Yeah.
And I want to hear your thought process. Just say that you have, like, you went to the doctor and you're waiting for a certain result. So it could be positive or negative, right? And you have, like, you know, a few weeks until then. You don't know. What is your thought process through that? You know, whether it be positive or negative, how are you reacting to that?
I did go to a doctor to get a checkup on something that that I thought could have been life threatening,
really?
And I was waiting on like the test to come through and everything, and you know, turns out I was fine. But man, that was probably like the longest, like week and a half or whatever,
sure.
Right? And you know, and I was thinking about these things, and it's, you know, the immediate thing is you know, it's kind of, it's for a second it feels real to you, like it seems like very immediate, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there was also the thing in the back of my head was like, I was kind of alone during that whole thing, because it hasn't been proven that, you know, there's actually a problem. So I told like one person that like this is something I'm dealing, you know, purely for my sanity, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as far as the things that I was thinking about, I mean, like I think about death a lot, right? You know, and so like a lot of it was, you know, I've designed my life in a way that if I only had a few, like couple of weeks to live, I would not change that much in my life.
Okay.
You know, yes. because the things that I've designed my life around are based on the things that I value,
yes.
in my life.
Yes.
So like the things that I value in my life are essentially, you know, the people that are important to me, mm-hmm. you know, like the community around me, my family, my friends, and then doing things because they're interesting to me, you know, mm-hmm. doing things because they help people,
yes.
Bringing value to people,
yes.
right? And and in all ways, you know, like even the small little ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't have to, like people think that you have to start like a huge foundation, or you know, you have to move to Africa and you know, build wells and shit and everything. With you know,
good for you.
Purposeful
you
work, yes.
Good, yeah, good for you if you're doing that. I'm not knocking that in the slightest.
Yeah,
but like you can do a lot of good with just the you know 5, 6, 10 people directly around.
The YouTuber, right?
Yeah.
This is before he became famous, right? And it was really funny. It was one of the. It's funny to me because that's where you realize the age difference.
Because
at the time he was like 22 or something like that, and like 21 or 22. And I'm like in like my mid 30s or whatever yeah. it is, right? Like early 30s, and then and eventually, and I talked to him like the same way that I would talk to you,
mm-hmm.
You know, just as a normal person,
yes.
like a normal adult, right? And he eventually like hit me back, you know, because he forgets sometimes. And he's like, yo, so Eric, how many people have you dated? And I was like, serious relationships, maybe 5 or something like that. And he's like 21. He's like, yo, I didn't know Eric was a player. He's like, you know, and everything. And I was like, hold up. I've just had more time in you, okay?
Yeah.
like
Wow, that's
but
so
yeah,
funny.
Like those are always yeah late the late night conversations.
You're like
late
half night. Asleep,
yeah.
half awake, and you're just like
yeah.
blurt whatever. That's so funny. Oh my gosh,
that always cracks me up.
Yeah, just thinking about what you said. Oh yeah, so when I was listening to our last podcast years ago, a lot of what we're saying is pretty much the same. But so much has changed within this time.
Yeah.
But that just goes to show how much importance is in values and like the simple things that you value
yes.
the most.
Yeah.
Right? Like our jobs have changed.
For sure.
Our
For sure.
social life has changed.
Yeah. A lot has happened in the last 4 years.
So much.
Yeah.
And but I think we're internally we're pretty much the same people because we saw the importance of, you know, life is inevitable, things will change all the time, you know, but what stays the same is who you know, who you are on the inside, you know, and the things that you I guess always go back to that bring you back to a state of, you know, gratitude essentially,
because yeah.
you know where you've come from, where it all started. And I think that's a big key also to success is just like knowing where you came from, you know, and where, oh, dang, Montgomery Village.
Yeah. it's, I think it is important to.
Oh, wait. Just wait. I think they're passing through.
Yes.
This is where all the action's at.
Yeah.
Oops. No, you don't
want to
be
in this.
Never.
Never.
Oh, my God.
And there, yeah, I mean, there's a police station being built down the street, so that's not gonna help
yeah.
either.
No.
Or the main street, so I get it. Okay.
Wait. Yeah, closing that window definitely helps.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm, interesting.
Not that itchy anymore. It's still a little bit uncomfortable, but it's not that itchy anymore.
Yeah, probably because you're sitting down too.
Okay.
Go ahead, Eric.
Oh no, I was just saying. It's important to remember where you came from. You know, remember who you are. But the tricky thing is like, you do have to check yourself every so often.
Yes.
You know, absolutely. the one thing that most people never do is they wonder, what if I'm wrong. You know, so every so often it is good. I mean, you know, again, like I've been journaling for years and everything, like we, you know, mm-hmm. both you and me are big into that. You know, it's nice to have a record of, you know, all the people that you've been throughout your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's helpful information, you know, and sometimes like you have to sit there and check like, okay, like, is this still the person that I want to be or that I need and want to be? Mm-hmm. You know, does this make sense for my life? You know, what has changed? You know, like, okay, nothing has changed, but my life is this way. Like, how do I guide this like a little bit differently? It does require a revisiting, a conscious revisiting, mm-hmm. of, cause it's kind of like, you know, you want to remember where you came from and everything. Well, it's like, well, I don't know where I came from, you know, right. You know, that's a legitimate, you know, issue to think about.
Yeah, or yeah. You've been like living someone else's life this whole time and you're like, oh. Yeah.
I think, so you sent me a question of, you know, one of the things that, you know, changed for, you know, the last 4 years, well, just people in general, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things is, and if we're talking about the last 4 years, what the question really is, what has changed after the context of the pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. That's really what the, you know, mm-hmm. what you have to address. And I think a lot of people during that time realized that they were doing their life in, they were doing a lot of things that they thought they should be doing, mm-hmm. that they did not really need to, which was brought in by different things of, different factors of being close with death, not being able to go to work, so now you got to figure out what to do with your time, having the world be turned upside down and then realizing you were still okay after it. Mm-hmm. All these different aspects, you know, it flipped what everybody thought of, mm-hmm. how their life should be. Mm-hmm. You know,
one of my biggest anxieties coming out of the pandemic was like going back to pre-pandemic, where go back into like the busy life and like,
sure.
You know, that was one of my biggest anxieties, because although it was tragic what happened during the pandemic, I think it also served a great purpose in like everyone's life in some way.
And
so it's definitely something you don't want to take lightly, you know. That was also an opportunity to reevaluate, you know, our lives and just how we interact with people and how we saw, you know, careers and everything. And so yeah I agree.
We came out on the other side of it and realized that, you know, I was writing notes down, just remembering things that were happening back at that time. And it's I know we don't have a lot of time left, but I'll try to wrap it up real quick. But yeah, I mean, it was a crazy time when you think about it, because, you know, you had it was like basically a year collectively indoors. So people's social lives were turned upside down. People's work lives were turned upside down. Just in the United States alone, 500,000 people died over the course of that year and a half. Mm-hmm. And which is more people than how many U.S. soldiers died in the Second World War, like putting that into perspective. You know, there were rumors of mass graves. I remember there was a Coast Guard ship that sailed into the port of New York. That was a ship called Mercy, and it was a hospital ship with an extra 1,000 beds in it to help the overflow. But what ended up happening is, you know, as great of a tragedy as it was, those mass graves weren't used. The ship Mercy did not need to use its extra beds, and we came out on the other side of, you know, of an apocalypse. What we would have said, it was an apocalypse that was in name only. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we come out to the other side, and you might be worried about going back to that life, but that life will never come back again, because mm-hmm. the world has changed so much, you know, since then. And some of it for the good, as one would hope that any terrible event, you want it to change for the good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know that's always like a tricky thing to think or talk about, like when you're talking about tragedy, because tragedy does inevitably shape not just society, but, you know, even on the individual scale, like the loss of somebody close to you, it does steer your life a little bit, you know, but you still get to decide what that means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And it's all significant if you make it to be, you know.
Yeah, meaningful. You still have control over how you're going to make the meaning of that come out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. At all times.
Wow. Well, we can go on and on and on and on and on about this, but I think we definitely put in so much of good words, and I think I'll end on, for me, my personal note, closing out the topic of success and failure. I've said this recently, you have to be like an active learner every day.
Yes.
You know, that helps you through failure and that helps you through success. Like I still have a long way. Like there are certain things I definitely want to achieve and I'm not there yet, but I'm still very open to just learning in general. That's how I've obtained what I have today, you know, Eric as well. And so, it's not until we're open to learning and open to being wrong where we are able to get on the other side of whatever we're battling, you know? So yeah, I just really encourage, like you said, the moment that you knew that you had to be like all these other salesmen to reach a certain thing, you know, to be successful, you had to get to work, you had to read, you had to, you know, those things that, like we were saying earlier, like we've been having a lot of glitches with our equipment and that's what they don't see. But I mean, that didn't stop us. We still continue. We try to make solutions. We try to figure out what we can do next. And so we just got to keep it moving, you know, and not to say we'll never have bad days. But if you didn't have bad days, you wouldn't really have anything to refer to compare to, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's basically it. Well, thank you, Eric, once again. Thank you guys for listening if you made it this far. I've been craving conversations like this, and just I get so much insight from my friends, and I'm just really grateful to be surrounded by people who are just really invested in growing and learning about this beautiful and, you know, at times very uncertain life. But I think when you're surrounded by people who are just interested in learning, it makes it worthwhile and really more fun. But yeah, thank you guys once again. If you enjoyed this, please consider subscribing to us, liking this, sharing it with someone you think would gain value if you're in the DMV area. We meet in person with any young adults that are looking for a community, a safe space. We try our best to provide opportunities for you guys to network with other people and really also just have a great, intentional, mindful moment, whether it be through arts or other certain events. And if you've gained value from this and would love to support our future endeavors and plans that we have for you guys in this community and just bring some positive things into this world, please do consider becoming a donor if you'd like and are willing. There's different options you can do, and we'll leave all of the description or all of the information on that below. But thank you, Eric, for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
My boy, we have such great conversations, and I'm really looking forward to like our next ones and where life will take us in the next years. But you know, we won't take that long to have another podcast. I'm sure we'll have another one in the near future. But is there anything you want to share with the world, any concluding thoughts or maybe slight plug-ins? You do everything, so I have no idea like what you could be doing right now that you want to tell the world. So
I don't know. No plug-ins.
Okay.
Whatever you're doing, like, you're gonna be all right.
You're good.
You're gonna be all right. Like, yeah. Like, your demographic, you got a lot of time.
Yeah.
You got a lot of time.